إمام مسلم narrates on the authority of الأغر بن يسار المزني that our beloved صلى الله عليه وسلم said إنه ليغان على قلبي. I sometimes feel that my heart is covered with veils. وإني لأستغفر الله في اليوم مئة مرة, and I ask Allah to forgive me 100 times a day. Focus on his consciousness of his heart. And he said, even me who is connected to the heavens with respect to revelation, I communicate with angels, Allah has chosen me, I feel sometimes clouds are obscuring my heart. And I ask Allah to pardon me 100 times a day. As for the companions of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they displayed the same level of keenness to ensure that their hearts remained pure. Look at, for example, how the companions would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam various questions, taking the initiative. They wouldn't wait for an advice to be given to them. They would say to him, "Awsini, please give me advice. How can we improve our internal state of affairs? What can we do? Give us advice." One of them, he said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "A'idhni wa awjiz." O Messenger of Allah, give me advice, but please keep it concise. He gave him a three-part bit of advice. If you adhere to it, watch how success will come into our lives. He said to him, "Idha qumta ila salati fasalli salat al-muwaddi'." When you get up to pray, treat it as if it's your farewell prayer. Number two, "La takallam bi kalamin ta'tadhiru minhu ghada." Beware of saying something that will necessitate an apology tomorrow. وَأَجِمِعِ الْيَأْسَ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And never look at what the hands of people possess. Be careless towards it. So look at how the Sahaba, they came to him. "Advise me, O Messenger of Allah." عِظْنِي. مَوْعِظَة goes to the heart. وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِغًا. Another Sahabi, Sa'id ibn Yazid al-Azdi, he comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, "Awsini, advise me, O Messenger of Allah." Look at the keenness. He said to him, "Usika an tastahi min Allahi kama tastahi min ar-rajul as-salih." He said, "My advice to you is that you are shy of Allah. Be shy of Allah the same way that you are shy from the righteous man in your community." Do you see, dear brothers and sisters? And Abu Darda, the companion, he said that Abdullah ibn Rawaha, the companion, listen to what his day-to-day looked like. Abdullah ibn Rawaha would take the hand of Abu Darda and he would say to him, "Ta'ala, nu'min sa'a. Come with me. Let us increase our iman together for a moment. Allahu Akbar." Many companions would say this to one another, "Come with me for a moment. Let's just interrupt the business for just a second. Let us increase our iman for a moment." Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said the companions would sometimes gather in a halaqa, and Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar, he would say to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, you know Abu Musa who would recite Quran and angels would make themselves present. And he would say, "Abu Musa, recite to us some Quran. Help us soften our hearts." And a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. He begins his recitation and the sahaba are just there, absorbing the kalam, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see their keenness, brothers and sisters, to never allow that internal compass to go south? In fact, Ibn Abi Mulayka at-Tabi'i, he said about the companions, "Adraktu 30 min ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kulluhum yakhafun nifaqa ala nafsih." I met 30 companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Every one of them feared hypocrisy for his heart. Every one of them feared hypocrisy, the prospect of being a munafiq. These are qulubun hayya, lively hearts that are brimming with life and light. When you move down to the tabi'een, the second generation, those who came after the companions, you see the same level of attention to the hearts. You have Ar-Rabi' ibn Khuthaymah Tabi'i, a second generation Muslim, who actually dug for himself a grave in his living room. Imagine that. he dug for himself a pit, a grave in his living room that he would use to soften his heart whenever he felt that it was going coarse. When he felt a hardness in his heart, he would go to the living room, he'd remove the plank and he'd sit inside and close it. And he stays there, imagining what the grave is going to be like. And then he says, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ. My Lord, return me. My Lord, return me. What is he doing? He's reciting from Surah Al-Mu'minun that Allah tells us that when they go into their grave, this is what they will say. My Lord, allow us to go back to the dunya. He would say, My Lord, return me. My Lord, return me. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ. So that I may do good deeds in the life I've left behind. And then when he begins to sweat and he's suffocated and he can't take it no more, he kicks out the plank and he leaves. And then he says to himself, هَا أَنْتَ قَدْ رَجَعْتَ يَا رَبِيعَ. You've come back, O Rabi'a. You said, My Lord, return me. You've been returned. فَعْمَلِ الْآنَ قَبْلَ أَنْ لَا تَرْجَعَ. So do good deeds right now. Change your ways before a day comes. You will call and you will not be returned. Allahu Akbar. And then you have Al-Hasan al-Basri. Al-Hasan al-Basri, tabi'i, despite being a scholar, a mufassir, an exegete, a scholar of fiqh, a judge, a counselor, an imam, he decided to dedicate a halaqa, a private halaqa in his home for the likes of these topics that we are discussing this evening. Purely to speak about the imaniyat, the internal spiritual dimensions of worship, hearts, how to rectify them, how to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever somebody would ask a question in that halaqa, in that circle, that was not related to that topic, he wouldn't like it. He'd get flustered. And he would say to his friends, إِنَّمَا خَلَوْنَا مَعَ إِخْوَانِنَا نَتَذَاكَرْ. We are here to remember the actions of the heart. We are here to allow our iman to grow. Please leave that question for a different gathering. And once a man called Maymun ibn Mahran said to his son Amr, take me to the house of Al-Hasan al-Basri. So they made their way to Al-Hasan al-Basri. They knocked on the door, they opened the door, they greeted each other. And then Al-Hasan says to him, what brings you here? Maymun, he says, Ya Aba Sa'id, father of Sa'id, قَدْ أَنَسْتُ مِنْ قَلْبِي غِلْظَةً فَاسْتَلِنْ لِي مِنْهُ. Oh, Imam Hassan, I feel that my heart has become a little bit harder than usual. I'm not the person I used to be from an Islamic perspective. So can you help me soften it, please? What did Al-Hasan do? He said to him, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Quran, straight away. This is going to feature a lot in our discussion this evening. He said to him, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَتَّعْنَاهُمْ سِنِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُمَتَّعُونَ. Three verses. Maymun ibn Mahran passes out. And he's on the ground. His son Amr, he said, my father was behaving and moving his feet like a sheep that had just been slaughtered. Lost his consciousness. What did he recite? He recited three verses from the chapter of the poets where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tell me, if we were to give them enjoyment for many years, then the punishment that awaited them finally arrives, will they be benefited by all what they enjoyed? These were the verses he had and he passed out. Anyway, he regained consciousness and they made their way out. And his son said to his father on the way home, was that Al-Hasan al-Basri, the great imam we hear about? He said, yeah, that was Al-Hasan, Abu Sa'id. He said, ظَنَنْتُهُ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, you know, I always had like a bigger picture of the imam in my mind. I thought he'd be something bigger than that. So his father stopped and he prodded his son in his chest. He said to him, يَا بُنَيْ سَنْ لَقَدْ قَرَأَ عَلَيْنَا آيَةً لَوْ تَدَبَّرْتَهَا بِقَلْبِكَ لَأَبْقَى لَكَ فِيهَا كُلُومٌ. He said, my son, he had just recited ayat from the Quran, which if you properly understood them, they would have left so many wounds in your heart. La ilaha, this is the power of the Quran. So this, dear brothers and sisters, is a quick snapshot of how our predecessors approached this topic and gave it utmost attention. When was the last time you visited a heart doctor? When was the last time you went to a brother, a person, an individual who you feel is a specialist in the field, or even half a specialist, who can give you advice about your state of affairs and your imaniyat, your spirituality? When was the last time you felt the need to do that? They did that, and that is why they were ahead of the game.